Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everyone, to another refreshing hour of the Refresh Your Wealth Show. I'm Matt Sorensen here with my co-host, Mark Kohler. We're going to be bringing you an hour of refreshing topics. This show is dedicated to tax, legal, wealth-building strategies, and we're just super excited to be with you today, and we hope you enjoy the show. There's lots of ways to listen. Of course, you can always find the Refresh Your Wealth Show on iTunes, under the Refresh Your Wealth podcast, a great way to listen to prior shows. You can also find more details about the show and prior shows at refreshyourwealth.com.
Well, wonderful intro, Matt. And I myself am also excited to be here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We got a great show planned for today. This is all about new tips and strategies in building your corporate credit. And I want to set the stage here for a quick minute because I had a conversation with a client this morning, and I even told her, I said, I'm going to mention your story on the show, not her name and business. You know, we are confidential here. It's called attorney-client privilege. But anyway, she's like, no, share it. She is expanding into a new business location and a second location, excited for her if they're a small business, and she needed a line of credit. Went into Wells Fargo, and they go, we would love to give you some corporate credit, but you only have one small business credit card, and you haven't used it in months. You need to use it, pay it off, sit 3 months, use it again, pay it off, sit 3 months, and we can line you up. And she goes, well, I don't need corporate credit 6 months from now. I need credit right now for the deal I'm doing. And so that's the case with corporate credit. When you need it, we're not usually ready for when we need it, and we've got to start preparing for that corporate credit process sooner rather than later. And so it's really important that you get that process going when you have some time and when you're able to focus on it, and because you never know when you might need that extra line of credit.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, you know, packing a water bottle, you know, before you go on a hike or something. I mean, you might not need a drink, but if you didn't prepare, you're gonna get thirsty out there. And, you know, it's a refreshing your wealth topic, so I was trying to stay with the show theme there. And
that was good. Good job, man.
Yeah, thank you. So,
I
think that's not a unique situation. I think a lot of people realize that when they go to the bank, small business owners that even been in business for a while, not to mention new business owners.
Oh yeah. And this is a topic that's fraught, or I should say an industry that's fraught with scams and misinformation. So we've got a special guest today, Eric Counts. He'll be joining us here in our third segment of the show and busting down some new tips and strategies. This is a chapter in my book, in the Tax and Legal Playbook, on what to do in corporate credit. So I think all of you are going to find this really refreshing. Again, sticking with that show theme. So we're excited. It's going to be good. So excited many of you are here with us. We're here on our new format, too, as many of you know, and using Blog Talk Radio as our primary distribution source, Wednesdays live at noon Mountain. So we're wanting all of you to remember to put this in your calendar, try to listen in live, and we have our call-in show every 3 weeks, so every, I guess, third or fourth show, however that plays out. We'd love to have your comments on the show as we do live call-in on a regular basis and with our guests, too. So, Now, Matt, I guess last week you went out on a limb and did the tax tip. Are you ready for a legal tip today?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the legal tip, you know, keep it safe. I'm going to go legal tip right
all
now.
Right.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Well, you might need to take not need a shower after this, but you might need to mask it with cologne after this one. No, I'm just kidding. This legal tip, this is about every 3 months I get this question. I had it recently, so I figured I'd give a legal tip. There's certain people who are business owners or philanthropic individuals who say, hey, I want to go set up a nonprofit corporation. And some of them have total, you know, charitable things they want to do with the nonprofit. Some of them, it's kind of a business angle. And I want to just make one important distinction of what you need to know in the nonprofit corporation setup process. Because I think some people oversimplify it, and we've had a lot of people come to us who've messed it up. They've done it on their own, or they did it on some website, and they didn't really set up what they think they set up.
I like it. Matt, you're opening a can of worms, but I like that you're keeping it to one big tip, because it is a big topic. So I like this. The nonprofit.
Yes.
A lot of people call us on this. This is good. I'm excited to hear what
you're saying. Yeah, and I love it. And I like those calls. I love people who are like, you know what, I want to figure a way to give back. I think a lot of people are, you know, very charitable, or they find something that relates to their business that they can be philanthropic, charitable about, and I love that. So here's the important tip, though. A nonprofit corporation is not simply going and setting up a nonprofit corporation with the state. All right, I think a lot of people think, oh, I got this document approved back from the state where I set up my company. It says it's a nonprofit corporation. I'm a nonprofit corporation. Well, you are a corporation, but you're only nonprofit once you file an application to the IRS and they approve you to be a nonprofit. So it's a two-step process. You do need to file a corporation to the state, and that's whatever state you may reside in, typically, or where your nonprofit corporation is going to conduct activities. But then the second step, which is actually the harder one, you must get IRS approval to be a nonprofit corporation, and that is done on Form 1024. It's an application for recognition of nonprofit exemption. It's a super complicated process. We've helped clients through it, but just keep in mind, it's not simply a filing to the state. You got to get approved with the IRS, and just so you know, the IRS takes about 9 months to a year to actually approve one of these, even if you do everything right the first time you submit it.
Yeah, and it is a retroactive designation.
Yes.
So, folks,
yes,
you can start taking donations and start doing business, get the application off. And it is true. Sometimes it can be done earlier than 9 months. Sometimes it can take over 9 months. But you want to get on it and do it right, and you'll find out that it can really make a big impact in your life, your family's life, and hopefully the life of others. And, you know, you're not building a nonprofit to make millions or make a living. You're doing a nonprofit to make the world a better place. So we're here for you. We'd love to help you make the world a better place. There's got to be a song on that. Yeah, I'm missing a quote somewhere. I can feel it. I got to do my 80s quotes better. All right, now,
let me just correct
folks,
that. Form 1023.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I think I said 1024. It's IRS Form 1023. That's the IRS form. If you go there, you're going to look at that form and be like, oh, my gosh. It's, you know, you can get through it. We've helped a lot of clients through it, but that's the meat of it. That, and once you get that application exemption done, then you're just filing your tax returns or keeping up to date. It's not as hard. Getting over this first hurdle is the big part.
Yeah, and I want to just echo Matt. You're actually, as you know, the resident accountant on the show, there is a 1024 and a 1023 application, and it depends on your nonprofit. So, Matt, just a little FYI, you were right on, dude. There are a couple different applications, and this is why you want to get a professional out there. We charge like $3,000 to do it, plus filing fees. You're going to see people out there sometimes charging as much as $10,000 to set up a nonprofit, and then they screw it up. We fix some of those for people. So you can take donations to help pay for that legal fee. But, okay, now we're going to be We need to take a quick break, but let me just tell you, our topic coming right back here after the break is the tax tip. And I'm going to talk about how to maximize your auto deduction for this year. So we want to make sure that you choose the right method and give you the updated mileage numbers for this year. So come right back to us. Stay with us right after the break. Welcome back, everybody, to Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. Thank you for your patience there with a little commercial break. For those on AM radio, you've been given a few commercial opportunities to do something, make a purchase. I'm not sure what the commercial was, but we're glad we're back. And for those on iTunes, just a little break there where you could refill your drink, run to the restroom, whatever the case may be. So thanks for staying with us here. Now, Matt, good legal tip. I like that on kind of the nonprofit scenario. So as I said right before the break, I've got a killer tax tip here for you.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Now, truly, this is a tax tip that can save you thousands. And folks, it's the auto deduction strategy. Now, some of you driving down the road may go, well, I've already got it dialed in. Let me say a few things that might be helpful here. Remember, there are three main ways to write off your auto deduction. That may be mileage, you could do actual, or you might have an auto lease. Depending on how you own your car, again, if you're leasing or owning, the lease is a great way to go. I'm not going to get into the tax tip of how to utilize the lease, but for those leasing a vehicle, you're typically going to write off a good portion of your lease payment and the actual expenses like gas, fuel, repairs, maintenance. For those doing actual, this is where if you have an SUV or a truck, the 179 deduction increased for 2016 can be a big deal. And I was just at a workshop on Saturday in Chicago, and a client came up and said, hey, Mark, I'm thinking of getting a truck. Is that a good tax write-off? And I go, yeah, it's a great tax write-off. Do you really want a truck? Well, not really. I just want a good write-off. I said, well, slow down. That may not be the best tax decision. So don't let the
legal
IRS
services.
Uncle...
Legal services are also a good tax write-off.
That's right. You know, if you want a tax write-off, just write us a check. We'll give you a write-off. but I said, don't let the tail wag the dog. So be cautious of those salesmen out there telling you to buy an SUV or a truck just for the write-off. But the point I wanted to make today is the mileage deduction. 90% of our clients use mileage. I use mileage. And you can use different methods for different cars. So if you have two or three cars in your life, you might have a lease, you might have an actual, and you might have a mileage. At one point in my life, I had all three. I had a truck for actual, I had a lease on kind of a sports car, and then I was doing mileage on the kind of family car, so when I used it for business. So we had three different methods going on, and you can do that. But the mileage method this year for 2016 is 54 cents per mile. Now, actually, folks, you're right. That went down, and that's because the price of gas is down around the country, so the IRS adjusts the mileage method at the beginning of the year in anticipation of expected gas prices. So it's 54 cents a mile. But, hey, the average person is going to burn 20,000 miles, your average entrepreneur. That's over a $10,000 deduction. So that's not chump change. So oftentimes the mileage is going to be better than trying to take the gas because you don't get to take the auto payment, only the interest on the auto loan plus gas. And so mileage adds up fast. So there you go, Matt. You can use that yourself right there. Just want to throw that. Since you have teenage drivers, I want you to get that extra write-off.
Hey, you know what? My teenage driver has her own business and she does track her miles. So, and I track my own miles. You know, this is every business owner's got to have this. Real estate investor, small business owner, big business owner, whatever you are. I mean, you're expensing this. This is a big ticket item, a big expense you bear as a business owner, and one that if you don't track it very well, you miss out on. You're leaving money on the table. So, you bet I'm gonna use that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, Matt. Good point. Now,
all right.
I guess our question of the week is all of you, Matt. So I've been talking way too much, so I'm just going to sit back now and enjoy the show.
All right. Well, you relax for a minute, okay? You know, you've been working hard. You deserve it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, I want to go back to my question. Now, this was 2 weeks ago. I gave the question of the week 2 weeks ago. I did not get a correct answer over the last week, and so we're going this week with the same question. Now, the question we had 2 weeks ago was, we had an individual who had an LLC, business owner with an LLC that owned three rental properties. Something goes wrong on property number one, and there's a plaintiff that sues the LLC for the incident that occurred on property number one. And the question was whether properties number two and three in the LLC are at risk. We had an answer come in from Young, who wrote in and said, the answer is yes. All assets held in the name of the LLC are at risk, and even if a judgment are at risk in the event of a judgment against the LLC, regardless of which property the actual lawsuit arose from. This is precisely the reason I took Mark's advice and had him convert one of my LLCs to a series LLC to create partitions between all my properties to help limit my liability and risk in the event of a lawsuit. A smiley face with a wink. Well, thanks for that excellent answer. That was answered the question and went a step further, which was giving the solution to that problem too, which is in certain states, there's about 15 of them where you can use a series LLC. That allows you to have one LLC and you're able to put a property in what are called separate series. There's about 15 states that have that. In every other state, you may just use separate LLCs to separate out those properties so that you don't have the situation where something goes wrong on property number one and all properties held in the same LLC are at risk. So thanks, Young. We will get in touch with you and you'll win a free copy of either mine or Mark's book of your choice. And thanks for participating in the question of the week. Are you liable?
Yeah. And you know, I want to give a little shout out to Young. He's such a regular listener. He was so kind in his response too. And we appreciate you regular listeners out there like Young, and encourage you to please share the show with your family and friends. We've had so many people email us and go, hey, someone pointed me at the direction of your show and it's really helped me out with these tax and legal type topics. And that's our goal. We want to be your tax and legal resource for a little podcast once a week while you're on your commute, maybe out on the gym, on the treadmill. We hope to be giving you tips and strategies that save you real dollars in the real world every day. So good stuff. Thanks, Young. Okay, well, I'm Matt. I'm going to throw down the is it deductible question of the week. That's what I'm going to call it this week.
All right. The tax tip throwdown.
Yeah, this is So for those that are new to the show, we do a question for the week. And the first one to respond via email to Matt, M-A-T, at KKOS Lawyers, or Mark, M-A-R-K, at KKOS Lawyers. First one to respond with a correct answer wins a copy of Minor Matt's book with free shipping, which is a close to $20 value. Unless you have Amazon Prime, you might save a couple bucks. So this is a big deal. We just don't give away books. I mean, you know, I just barely broke down at Christmas and gave my mom a book. And I almost made her pay because, you know, but I gave it to her for Christmas. I kind of couched it in as a Christmas gift.
You told her to write in with a show answer.
Yeah, I said, Mom, you got to listen to the show if you want a book. You know, I might have her come out on the show. In fact, I've got a tip that would be really good. You know what, Matt? If you'll oblige me, maybe we'll get my mom out here on a show in the next few weeks. I think you guys would love her. Ooh. There we go. Okay, so, yeah, she's a great lady. Okay, so question of the week. Here it is. Let's say you're having an office meeting and you thought, you know what, it might be more efficient to keep everybody in the office and I'm going to bring in lunch. I'm going to call Chick-fil-A. Apparently Chick-fil-A has a nice, you know, little catering menu. There's a little inside joke there with Matt. I know he's laughing over there. Maybe that's
very
another
good
story for another podcast. Yeah. We had a company party catered by Chick-fil-A, unbeknownst to us, that kind of shocked us one day. Anyway, Chick-fil-A, that's our catering joke around the office. But anyway, and I like Chick-fil-A, I'm just saying. I just don't know if I'd cater my, you know, wedding luncheon. But anyway, so Chick-fil-A is going to bring in lunch for your staff meeting. So here's the question. If I bring in Chick-fil-A for my staff meeting at lunch with my team, is it a 50% deduction or a 100% deduction to have Chick-fil-A come in with food, or I go pick it up, whatever, and I bring in Chick-fil-A for my staff meeting? That is the question. Some meals, most meals, are limited by 50%. Some, you get 100% deduction. So if I bring in lunch to my office for my next staff meeting, do I get 100% deduction or 50% deduction? So, folks, if you have the answer, shoot us a quick email. You're on your smartphone right now. I know you're listening, and you're on your smartphone right now. Stop, shoot us an email. First one to respond gets a copy of our book, and you can give it away. We will sign the book, and you can give it away to a friend or family member, and just think how much they will cherish it. So there you go.
And for extra credit, what is better, Chick-fil-A sauce or Polynesian sauce? Want to contribute to this, Mark?
Yeah, that, you know, I won't. I'll share my opinion on that sauce choice next week when we reveal the answer. But
a little teaser for next week's show.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A sauce. Bottom line, I mean, Chick-fil-A sauce selection is amazing. I do love the sauces at Chick-fil-A, so it's good stuff. Okay, now I want to introduce our special guest here. And at least bring him out on the line and have all of you hear his voice so you know he's for real. I mentioned it earlier, we've got Eric Counts joining us. He is a credit repair specialist, a corporate credit acquisition specialist. He's a national educator around the country, speaking to groups, helping them understand the complexities of rebuilding your personal credit at the same time you build your business credit. I've been so impressed with Eric. I even refer to him in my newest book, The Tax and Legal Playbook, in the chapter that I refer to corporate credit. I say this hands down, him and his partners are the only people I trust nationwide with my credit monitoring, and to help me build my credit. And this guy's amazing. So I want to bring him out real quick. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you finding some time. We know we grabbed him right off a flight. He's in an airport somewhere, traveling around the country, saving people money. So, Eric, tell us about the event.
I made it all the way to a McDonald's parking lot for you, Mark. I stopped my car, and I said, I don't want to lose service. I've got good service. So I stopped so that I could call in and give you guys this time.
Thank you. I'm glad you made it. I was hoping that we would not inconvenience you too much, and so this is good. Well, Eric just recently held an event in Chicago last weekend. I was able to attend. It was fantastic, and it reminded me how important this topic is. So right after the break, we're going to come back and hit Eric with our current questions on what are the top things you should be knowing about when it comes to corporate credit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody, to Refresh Your Wealth with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. We have a special guest today, Eric Counts. He's a corporate credit acquisition specialist. I don't think Eric heard my example at the beginning of the show where we talked about a business owner in the need of corporate credit right now, and she wished 6 months ago she would have started the process. So, very, very important. We already know that if you need corporate credit, you always need it when you least expect it. So, like Matt, I liked your example, going into the desert without a water bottle, not a good idea. If you're going into business, you want to have that water bottle in your back pocket. That's called credit, corporate credit, good stuff. So I'm going to just throw out the first question here. I'm going to throw you a softball, Eric, right off the bat. It's an easy one. But when should you start building your corporate credit? And is it hard to get started with just some basics?
That's an easy one. You start getting started yesterday or 6 months ago, as soon as possible. The moment that you own a business, that's when that business needs to start building its corporate credit. As far as some really easy steps, guys, getting set up, it is far, far more intricate than it used to be with just going and getting a Paydex score and going and getting a DUNS number. There's a lot more to that process now as some of the financial environment changes. But you do want to do those things. You do want to get yourself a DUNS number. You do want to get set up with DMV and Experian Business and Equifax Business and start letting some things start getting reported to that business profile.
Hey, Eric, this is Matt. Thanks for being with us. Can you give me maybe an example of someone you've worked with or a common example you see of someone that gets good corporate credit and how that's able to help them? I mean, why is this really a important topic for the business owner, you know, with the storefront or providing goods and services or the real estate investor? Let me give us an example or two, if you could, about how this is really changing businesses and helping them.
I actually have a great example, and this is not to plug anybody or anything. This is also the reason that you want to work with somebody that allows you to kind of lead you, kind of like how you guys do with, you know, you really want an expert. But we had a customer coming in, and he was looking. He had been offered – he owned a snow plowing business, and he had been offered by his city to take on the contract for the entire city of the snow plowing business. He said, I can't do that because I don't have – I need two new snow plows in order to do that. So he had called me and he said, hey, I need a loan to get two new snow plows. And I said, well, okay, what's the options? What do we need them for? How can we figure out how to use this? He said, I need to take the, I need to get these snow plows so that I can get the contract. And after looking over his profile, we realized that he actually had built some corporate credit. He didn't even know that he had. I told him, I said, no, you need to take the contract so that you can get the two new snowplows. He utilized his corporate credit and the purchase order from the city to use that as collateral to get the snowplow. So he was actually able to grow his business by purchasing those snowplows, able to take a contract that he otherwise wouldn't have taken because he didn't know that he had an option to do those things. So, you know, we got lucky with him, I will say that, because he already had a little bit of corporate credit built. But utilizing the corporate credit, utilizing the purchase order from the city, we were able to get him those snow plows that he needed. So that's the number one. I mean, that's a really great example to allow you to say, look, he was able to make money and grow, expand his business, because otherwise he wouldn't have been able to take that contract.
That's a great example. And I want to just get another quick point out there. And we want to talk about some current issues in corporate credit. I know you've got some current issues that people
Absolutely.
Are facing, but maybe some softballs here just to get people up to the same, on the same page here. There are some scams out there. And while we have this
For sure.
cross section of people that do nothing with corporate credit until they need it, then they're frantic. We have other people that go out and try to get corporate credit before they even need it, and they pay for these shelf corporations and scams. What are some of those scams that you see out there that people should look out for when they're trying to get corporate credit?
That's definitely the first one, is keep an eye out for the shelf corps. What happened in the past, that was it was never the right thing to do. First of all, we never expressed that it's the right thing to do, but in the past it worked for some people. They would purchase a shelf corp, utilize the shelf corp to get credit cards or to get lines of credit, and then bankrupt the company. That became such an issue in the corporate credit world that some of the questions and some of the ways that they approve you now have changed. They'll say, you know, yes, how old is your corporation? And you say, 9 years, because you bought a shelf corp that's 9 years old. But then they're going to go, okay, when did you open your business bank account? And when you go, last week. So why do you have a 9-year-old corporation with a 1-week-old bank account? Doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
They're utilizing. They figured a lot of ways out to flag these companies for not being a legitimate, valid company. When we start with a new company as a customer, the first thing we do is go through a 20-point compliance list to make sure that really simple things that every business owner should, you know, realize that they need to have are in place. And some of those things are listing your phone number with 411, making sure you have a business website. Business credit reports are kind of expensive. You know, banks check a lot of systems. They use automated services to check systems like 411, like checking to see if you have a website, like seeing if you have a corporate email versus, you know, let's say Mark Kohler at Yahoo.com. They want to see Mark at KKOSLawyers.com. So a lot of little things like that kind of factor in as well. So,
boy, there's a lot of tips thrown out there, I think, already of things you should be doing if you weren't paying attention there, which is get listed on 411, get a real email address with your company domain on it, have a real website link to your company. You mentioned before, I think, even Dun & Bradstreet, Experian Business Credit. These are things that sounds like if you're going down the right path, these are the things you need to do. And I'm just trying to make a checklist of people to try and track some of these tips you're throwing out.
Absolutely.
And I want to let me add real quick, too, that, you know, one of those first things is having your entity. A lot of people ask that, can I start corporate credit under my personal Social Security number? And the remember what it's called, people, corporate credit. And so you can do it with an LLC. Typically, you're going to be building corporate credit with an operational entity, which is you're going to be typically the S corporation, which many of you know Matt and I talk about all the time. But that could be an LLC taxed as an S corp. But, you know, on these list of tips that you're just throwing out of things to do that aren't scam oriented, is it expensive? Is it expensive to get started? I mean, and there's going to be some costs here and there. What should people expect with costs there?
If somebody is going about that themselves, I do want to say, again, not a plug, get some help. Corporate credit is it's like saying you go file your own taxes, go represent yourself in court. Guys, it's extremely tricky road. However, if somebody does want to take that path on their own, they can do that. What I would recommend them expect is they're going to have to monitor. So you're going to have monitoring fees. Business monitoring fees are far more expensive than personal fees. They sometimes get $90-$100 a month, and then there's still free business bureaus. So you will have some fees in there that you need to factor into. And then you have to remember that, guys, if you're trying to really fully build corporate credit without a personal guarantee, you're going to have to buy some crap you don't want. That's my phrase. You're just going to have to buy some junk. The type of credit that allows you to open a fully separate credit line from your personal credit is going to be, you know, office supply store. It's going to be Grainger. It's going to be, Home Depot has a couple of things. Lowe's has a couple of things. But the majority of these low-level lines are office supplies, Uline, Grainger, different things like that, that will allow you to use their credit, purchase items, and then they usually give you what's called a net 30. Because could be a net 60, could be a net 7. The only difference there is how long you have to pay for that item. If you have a net 30 account, you purchase it, you have 30 days to pay the money back. Once you start utilizing those accounts, you want to make sure that you get credit with an account that reports at minimum to Dun & Bradstreet. Once you set that up with Dun & Bradstreet, all of a sudden you'll start getting, you know, offers of credit that are a little bit better. Still not great, but a little bit better, and then a little bit better, and then a little bit better. You know, think about it like your personal credit, guys. If you turn 18, the first thing that you get offered is not going to be an American Express Black Card. It's not going to be, you know, right off the bat, hey, you're the best, here it is. It's some building. It's building time. You want to expect between 6 months. You can get some things in about 6 months, up to about 2 years.
Well, I love it. Great tips, Eric. And I wanted to just highlight one in there that you kind of alluded to, and that was the personal credit. Something you've talked about with me before, and when we and this was a huge emphasis that I put in the chapter in my book on this, is how your personal credit interplays with your corporate credit. Could you talk about that for a minute, how those two are intertwined?
Absolutely. Experian, especially, offers a report to lenders called the IntelliScore and the IntelliScore Plus. In those scores, Experian can provide a lender with a score on the business and also up to four primary owners of that business. It's extremely important to take care of both your personal and your business credit. just because your business may have good credit, if they pull an IntelliScore Plus, they can see that your business is doing okay, but your personal is a mess. That's a problem for people. It's a problem for a lot of people. And lenders can choose to pull whatever they want as long as you authorize it. And if they say, you know, this is what we want to pull, and you say no, well, then you're definitely declined. If you say this is what I want to pull, and you say yes, and you've got and your personal credit's a mess, they're still going to get declined. So keep in mind that personal is extremely important, even on corporate credit accounts. The biggest thing is whether something, even if they pull your personal credit, it still may not be a personally, you still may not be personally liable for that account. So just make sure you're doing
like
the paperwork and know what you're getting yourself into.
I love it. Folks, we're here with Eric Counts talking about corporate credit. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we want to ask Eric about current issues facing those trying to get corporate credit. So we're looking forward to his tips. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen. We are talking about corporate credit today, and Eric, as Mark just mentioned there, we want to get into some of the current items. Thanks for being with us for a few more minutes here. We also want to let everyone know about our five-star reviews and give you some updates on that as well. But give us maybe some of these current items that you see people are facing in the corporate credit world right now, the cutting edge of corporate credit.
There's two really big things that we've noticed. One of the things that we do in our business is track the approvals, track the declines, track what were their scores, what was the business's revenues, all of those things along in that process so that we can see the trends as soon as they start. And one of the things that we're noticing is a really big deal. We've had a couple of clients recently list their personal phone numbers in place of their business phone number. And when that phone number comes back through the database tied to a personal phone number, it's being a very, very big problem. We're seeing people with great business credit, great personal credit get declined, and the declines are happening due to fraud. So they're believing that it's a fraudulent application. So it's make sure that business number is in place, make sure it's listed, and make sure you use the same number on every application. It's been a very, very big problem for us. People are wanting to list their cell phone number because they know they're going to get that call. They're going to get that verification call, and they want that call to go to their cell phone. The problem is it can't do that. It needs to go to your business.
Well, if I remember correctly, there's just an incredible Seinfeld episode where George had given out the phone number for Vandalay Industries, and it was Jerry's phone number. And
Vandalay Industries.
Vandalay, answer the phone. And Jerry answers the phone, hello? And George is like, oh, I just lost the deal. And so, I've always wanted to set up a company.
It works the same way with the lenders. When I do my classes on corporate credit, I always say that is an exact example. You know, when you answer the phone, a business says, you know, creditnerds.com, this is Eric, how can I help you? It doesn't say, hello. Answer your phone like a professional. It's important, guys. You'll be amazed at how many applications get declined simply because the underwriter didn't feel the application was right. It just didn't feel right, and I'm just going to decline this one. 2014, the answer was 89% of all business loan applications were declined.
Wow. That is crazy. Okay, now just in the last couple minutes, give us one more tip. I like it. One more current issue. That was a good one on the phone over.
Can I give you one personal issue, guys, because this is huge. It's enough that I'm actually re-recording the class that I teach for, the online school that I teach for. I'm re-recording my class. It's that big of a change.
Okay, throw it
in. Is that okay? I know you said corporate, but this goes both sides there. It's called trended payment data or time series data. What they're doing now is, in the past, your credit limits and your credit balances on your open revolving accounts, on your credit cards, the majority of of your score outside of payment history, 30% of your score was figured off of that data. Do you keep your balances low? So it was very, very easy in the past to manipulate that data because it didn't have a memory. So if your credit card balances were high and you went and paid them down, you would see an immediate spike in your score. Starting in June, they're going to start utilizing trended payment data, which means they're going to know whether you normally carry a balance or whether you normally pay in full each month. For some people, this could be a great thing. I pay my credit cards off each month. For those that ask me about, you can carry a balance, but you want that balance to be somewhere around 1% to 2% just because it shows activity on the card and it shows that you pay every month. However, if you carry a balance on your card for the majority of a year and then right before you go apply, you pay it off because you saw that tactic work in the past, that tactic is not going to work anymore. They're going to know that you normally carry a balance, and a person, according to them, a person that carries a balance is 7 times more likely to default than a person who pays in full each month. So we've got to, as a society, as a country, as an economy, we have to start keeping our credit card balances lower than we currently do.
Well, good luck with that one. Well, Eric, I love it, and throw that carte blanche statement out, you know. No more dairy for you.
You
no more dairy.
With that, man.
Yeah.
You know what, Eric?
Jeez.
You should go get you deserve a Shamrock Shake. You know, you're in the McDonald's parking lot. It's March. Can you get a Shamrock Shake?
I hope so.
Go splurge. Okay, now, folks, that was Eric Counts that just joined us from creditnerds.com. Eric, is that okay if I just throw out www.creditnerds.com? That's where to go, right?
That's where to go.
I love it. Well, you're a huge resource to us. We love having you here on the show. You always do a great job. Eric, thanks for finding some time with us, and enjoy that Shamrock Shake throwdown.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Well, Matt,
yeah.
You want to give us a little 5-star review update?
Yeah. Now, these aren't my 5-star reviews, just let me clarify that. But I'm going to read one here. We had from B9D Hazel, 5-star. Review the most helpful information. We need the combined legal and CPA intelligence that these podcasts deliver. Well, that's what we're trying to do every week, deliver a little bit of intelligence out there to the world. Whatever we've got, you know, we're trying to give. So thanks for the 5-star review. And please give us some reviews on iTunes. We love 5-star reviews. And once we read off on the air, we'll try and get in touch with you to give you a free copy of either mine or Mark's book.
Yeah, no, I love it. Well, we're going to be here every week. We've got a great show next week. We're going to be doing a follow-up on how to find the right rental property. Now, this is kind of our spring show. We're not going to always be focused on rental real estate, but we've got a great expert joining us next week on how to analyze the best market for you to buy a rental property. And we had the hot markets and the bad markets we did a couple weeks ago. Now we're going to talk about just how to analyze a location. Then we'll charge you off into the sunset, hoping that you find your rental property this year, and we'll get back to some other topics. But it's a hot topic, very important. So,
yeah. Well, thanks everyone for being with us for another hour of Refresh Your Wealth. As always, you can find more information at refreshyourwealth.com, and you can also check on prior shows under the iTunes podcast under Refresh Your Wealth.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. See you next week, Wednesday at noon, live. We'll see you there.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.